speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. For this is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We come ready for your word. Father, we pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, bring glory and honor to you, that you might be glorified, that your people might be edified, and that the devil might be horrified and terrified by the life-changing, life-giving, life-blessing power of your word. Bless now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was August of 1928. 15 nations gathered together in Paris, France, including the United States, Great Britain, Italy, Germany, France, and Japan. I mention those because their presence should have signified something monumental was happening. They gathered for what was then considered a world-altering convention, conference, to outlaw war. It was a moment of immense global optimism following the Great War that had been experienced just a few years earlier, that we would now call World War I. The treaty was celebrated as a new era of international peace. It was hailed as a monumental achievement in diplomacy. The signing nations promised to renounce war as an instrument of national policy and to settle all disputes peacefully. The public went wild. It seemed that now they finally had concrete and a high-minded solution to the horrors of war. That was 1928. All of the celebration that took place was for nothing. Within 3 years, Japan invaded China. Italy invaded Ethiopia in 1935, just 7 years later. And Germany invaded Poland in 1939, 11 years later, starting what would turn out to be World War II. Now, here's the question. How could something that sounded so good, that would result in so much celebration, fail so miserably? Here's why. Because while they were quick to celebrate the idea of peace, no country made a commitment to make sure that peace was kept. Since 1928, there have been hundreds of conflicts, wars, or those things that we may not call wars, like police actions and regional conflicts. Hundreds. Because people didn't understand that there's a difference between celebration and commitment. Now, some of you may be asking, well, Pastor, what does that have to do with the message today? I'm glad you asked. You see, Palm Sunday marked a tremendous celebration. Now, they didn't call it Palm Sunday when it happened. Jesus was just coming in and fulfilling prophecy. But when you see the celebrations that took place, when you see the fact that they shouted Hosanna, when you see the fact that they laid down palm branches, when you see the fact that they took their garments and laid it across the colt, the donkey that Jesus rode in on, and laid it in the streets before him as he came in, and they shouted as if he was a triumphant king, and they praised him publicly. The celebration that took place on that Sunday was lost in the eyes of many by the time they got to Friday. Because there were people in the crowd who celebrated with no commitment. And y'all, can I be honest with you? That's what marks so many of our churches today. It's celebration with no commitment. It's coming in on Sunday to feel good, to get my emotional fix, my spiritual booster shot. I come in and I want the choir to make me feel good. I want the preacher to preach me happy, to make me feel good. I don't come to be challenged. I come to have my already established beliefs affirmed. And I leave celebrating, rejoicing and shouting how good God is. But I make no commitment. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to move from celebration to commitment. I want to take this Palm Sunday opportunity while we are celebrating to help somebody who's listening today understand that God wants more than just celebration. God wants more from you than just the waving of your literal and figurative palm branches. God wants more from you than the raising of your hands and the lifting of your voice. God wants more than just how high you jump when you shout. God wants more because God is concerned about how straight you walk when you come down. Here's the question on the table. How do you move from celebration to commitment? How do you move from praise to purpose? Three things I want you to see today. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world, download our church app or go to our website, goodhope.org, and you can find a fill-in-the-blank outline there. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem to begin the last week of his life. And Palm Sunday, as we call it, is the start of what we call Holy Week. Jesus was unquestionably claiming to be king, but he was claiming to be king on a different level. It's interesting when you look at Jesus in the midst of what some would argue to be some of the most politically charged moments in the world, with the most powerful empire in the world, Jesus did not move to overthrow the empire. Jesus did not align himself politically to maintain the empire. Jesus was not trying to be a king that would threaten Caesar's throne. Jesus wanted to be the king of people's hearts. And so I always find it strange that when we see people who are lining up on opposite sides of the political spectrum and Democrats say Republicans are not really Christian and Republicans say that Democrats are not really Christian, I don't know if a real Christian would align with either party. Because Jesus did not concern himself with the kingdoms of this world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And he knew that the kingdom that was not part of this world could influence this world, but it would not be done politically. It had to be done in people's hearts. And so that's where he wants to establish his throne. Here's the first thing I want you to see. If you're going to see the three critical shifts that take place in this text as we move from celebration to commitment. Number one, you must move from emotion to understanding. You've got to move from emotion to understanding. The text says, I'm going to go down to verse 28. After telling this story, Jesus went toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. And he came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. I want you to underline for me that phrase in verse 37. All his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. The crowd is loud. They're excited. They are expressive. They are demonstrative. But the question is, did they really fully understand who Jesus was? They were celebrating because of the miracles they had seen him do. And some of them, I'm sure, were celebrating because of what they had heard him do. Some were probably celebrating just because there was a celebration. They didn't even have a reason. They just, you know, there's some folk that just look for a party, right? Why are we here? I don't know, but we're having a good time. They were celebrating him because they believed he was coming as a political deliverer. And they missed the fact that he was coming as a spiritual savior. They thought Jesus came to change the world around them. And they missed the fact that Jesus came to change who they were on the inside. So here come these people. They are emotional. They are excited, but they don't have true understanding. They don't have true clarity of thought. As a matter of fact, many of them would not be found until after the crucifixion and after the resurrection and after time had passed. Why are you saying that, preacher? I'm saying that because there are many of you who are watching right now, and there are some of you who are here under the sound of my voice who have emotion without understanding. Let me share this with somebody. Man, if you live your life being ruled by your emotions, your life will be in trouble. If you live your life ruled by emotions and you give somebody else the power to push your buttons, then in essence, they control you. These people shouted without understanding. These people had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. And my brothers and sisters, the last thing we want to do is to come into church emotional without knowledge, without understanding. That's why so many are playing church. And that's why they measure their spirituality by not necessarily how many times they even come to a building, but by the intensity of their emotional experience. And there are others who measure what kind of Christian they are by the intensity of their intellectual experience. When in actuality, the question is not how much you know, not how much you feel, but how much you live. It's like cheering at a game. You're loud, you're passionate, you're expressive, right? When you go to a game, my son and I went to a game. I had the opportunity, you know, I used to take my kids somewhere. Now my children take me somewhere. So my youngest son, Brandon, he said, Pop, he said, listen, man, you want to go to the game? And I'm like, what game? And he said, the baseball game, opening day. And I said, well, and I was kind of hesitating because I'm like, you know, man, them seats are not big man friendly. You know what I mean? And I got long legs, so I'm like, And he's like, oh, we're in a booth. I was like, what? I said, oh, sign me up. You know what I mean? And I'm thinking, I'm like, man, we're going to have some popcorn and we're going to have some nachos and whatnot. No, this was a premium upscale booth. They had brisket, they had ribs, they had burgers, they had hot dog. I was like, man, look at this. I'm like, boy, invite me more often here. Ain't even worried about watching the game, right? Astros lost. I ain't care. I was happy, man. Here's the point, though. After we had a good time, watched the game a little bit, Astros were losing when we left, had lost by the time we got home. I left the game and that was it. I watched the game, but I wasn't in the game. I wasn't playing the game. And my brothers and my sisters, here's the problem with too many of us. When we focus on emotion, we participate, but we're not changed by it. There's no permanency in what we experience. And so we leave after everything is over and go back to normal life. Here's my question for you today. Do you understand who Jesus really is? And are you following the Jesus of Scripture, or are you claiming the Jesus of your emotions and your expectations? Is Jesus the Son of God who died to change your life? Is he the Son of God who became the Son of Man so that you and I, the daughters and sons of men, could become the sons and daughters of God? Are you committed to becoming who God wants you to be, or are you of the mindset that God's responsibility is to make you happy and to give you everything you want, treating him like a cosmic concierge? Truth of the matter is, emotions may start your faith, but commitment will sustain your faith. You can be passionate and still miss God. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. You can be excited by God and about God, but not be in alignment with God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read it together in verse 10. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. Underline that phrase. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Can I tell you something? It's hard to walk right when you don't know right. Right? It's hard to walk right when you don't know right. Here's the second thing. Number two, you must move. If you're going to move from celebration to commitment, you must move from expression to submission. You must move from expression to submission. Down in verse 31, he says, if anyone asks, why are you untying that coat? Just say, the Lord needs it. And then the text says, sure enough, as they were untying it, verse 33, the owners asked, why are you untying that coat? The disciples said, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt over to Jesus, threw their garments over to him. And as they rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. Jesus accepted the recognition of the disciples. The disciples knew exactly what Jesus was doing. They acknowledged his claim by three simple acts. They obeyed his instructions, they used their own garments as a saddle, and they set Jesus upon the colt. Here's the point. Jesus accepted their homage and thereby claimed to be the Messiah. All of these actions were signs of honor, but honoring him externally had to be rooted in submitting to him internally. In other words, Jesus wanted more than just their actions. It didn't really matter, man, if they gave him his coat, if they did not give him their commitment, right? Jesus is like, you can go through the motions, but I need your heart. You must do more than just lay things around him. You must surrender to him. I'm trying to help somebody today because here's what I need you to understand. It's possible to give Jesus your Sunday and still not give Jesus your schedule. You can give him your praise, but will you make him your priority? So here's the question. What area of your life is still under your control that needs to be under God's control? You give him Sunday. Hour and a half or two. Hallelujah. Praise God. You give him an hour and a half or two. What happened to the other 160 plus hours of your life? See, we celebrate him, but do we really surrender to him? Oh, man, come on. Y'all know, especially our church culture, you know how we do it, man. We going to have good church. Raggedy life, but good church. Shout, but suffer. Because our suffering is rooted in our unwillingness to surrender our lives to him and to say, God, have your way and let your will be done. So while you give him your praise, will you give him your person? You celebrate him in the sanctuary, but will you submit to him every day of your life? Can we see on the streets what you present in the sanctuary? Are you going to focus on what you want from God, or are you going to focus on what you can give to God? Look at Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Because Jesus says expression without obedience is a contradiction. John 14:15, let's read it together. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love is not proven by what you say, it is proven by what you do. You can say he's the Lord all day long, but he's not Lord until you obey what he says for you to do. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you must move from a moment to a lifestyle. You must move from a moment to a lifestyle. If you're going to move from celebration to commitment, you've got to move from a moment to a lifestyle. Verse 39, but some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." But as he came closer to Jerusalem, verse 41, and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Some of the crowd who praised him didn't follow him. There were some who were there for the party. They weren't there to discover their purpose. Those of you who have been to Jerusalem, if you remember when we were there and we were on that mount and we were looking at the Dome of the Rock, and we were looking at the old city of Jerusalem. That's the Mount of Olives. And some of us walked down that path off of the Mount of Olives and walked into the city. You can't go into the actual gate that Jesus went into because that gate has been sealed, right? And here's what, y'all, this is kind of funny. They sealed the gate because in their minds, if we seal the gate that Jesus came in and he's supposed to re-enter that gate, then they're going to keep Jesus from coming back. True story. But you walk down the hill and you walk off of the Mount of Olives and you come into that place where he was celebrated as he came into the old city of Jerusalem. Here's what I've learned. There are a whole lot of people who walk around celebrating moments of praise who live without a lifestyle of purpose. I've been to Israel several times, and it's always amazing to me how many pilgrims are there and how many people are there, especially when you get close to the holy season and people are reenacting the journey of Jesus along the Via Dolorosa, and you go through the steps of the cross and you see people in every location praying and praising and thanking God. And it's amazing because you have to wonder how many of those people who took the time to come to celebrate a moment are not living a lifestyle of commitment. See, a spark is a moment, but the burning in your heart becomes a lifestyle. So here's the question I want to ask you. Are you consistent when the crowd is gone? For some of you, man, your best week, your best moment of the week being a Christian is when you sit in here doing nothing except listening. This is as good as it gets for you being a Christian. You like, man, look here, Pastor, I showed up. I'm doing my part. Now I can't give account for the rest of the week. Don't check on me on Saturday night. Ain't no telling where I'm going to be. Don't know what I'm going to be doing Friday. But you got me on Sunday. And the Lord says, stop defining your life by a moment. Recognize that the Lord defines your life by a lifestyle. So are you living for him when you're away from the crowd? After you celebrate on Sunday, what does your faith look like on Monday? Look at Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross weekly. No. Your Bible doesn't say weekly? That's about all he gets from us. Come on. He says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Listen, y'all probably know some people like this. Like I knew some folk that said, I'm not going to act a certain way because it's Sunday. And if they're going to try to do something kind of really sort of kind of holy, oh, it's the first Sunday. I would tell you off, but it's communion. I got to take communion today, right? Jesus said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Because following Jesus is not a worship event. It's a worship lifestyle. Following Jesus does not happen weekly. It happens daily. Look at Colossians 3:17. Let's read it together. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. If your faith only shows up in moments, it will never shape your lifestyle. Celebration is what you do when you feel something. Commitment is what you do when you decide something. And until your faith moves from feeling to decision, you will always have moments, but never truly experience transformation. A moment that doesn't become a lifestyle will never become a movement and will eventually fade away. They celebrated him on Sunday. They shouted Hosanna, but many of them who shouted Hosanna didn't surrender their hearts before Friday. And Jesus is still asking today, will you just celebrate me on one day? Or will you commit to me every day? You see, you can shout and still not submit. You can praise and still not fulfill your potential. You can celebrate and still not serve. You can wave your palms and still walk away without purpose. You can lift your hands and still hold back your heart. But if he's worthy of your praise, he's worthy of your person. If he's worthy of your celebration, he's worthy of your total commitment. Celebration without commitment produces shallow faith, but commitment rooted in true understanding produces lasting life change. And because he is the King of Kings, the question is now, will you make him the Lord of your life? Because let me close by telling you this. He does not deserve just a moment in your life. The Lord deserves all of your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, move us today beyond emotional moments into committed lives. Help us to not just celebrate you, but help us to surrender to you. Align our hearts with your will and our lives with your purpose. Make us disciples, not just spectators. Make us contributors, not just consumers. Make us more than an audience. Help us to become an army for you, that our lives would truly reflect that you are a God that's not only worth celebrating, but you are worth committing to. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I was researching for the message today, and I asked the question of Google. I said, examples of celebrations without commitment. The overwhelming number of examples were marriages that didn't take place or marriages that ended. We're talking about the celebrations, but at the end of the day, there was no commitment. I went to a wedding years ago. A gentleman that I met was marrying this young lady, beautiful couple, and her family had put aside a lot of money for this wedding, and probably $50,000-$60,000, you know. And so I'm there with my play sister, and we standing there, and they're taking all these pictures, and he came by and was talking to us. He said, yeah, he said, look at this. He said, see all this stuff? This is all her stuff. And she thinks she's running something. I got news for her. And I looked at my play sister. We looked at each other. He walked away. I said, 6 months. 6 months. I give it 6 months. You better change that attitude. Because, brothers, we learned the wedding is not for us. It's for the woman, right? For the bride. And I'm like, my family been running stuff, and you ain't had no problem with it. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to put your foot down? You're going to put your foot down outdoors, right? And sure enough, within 6 months, it was over. Grand celebration. Sit down, full dinner reception at the Hyatt on the lake in Chicago. Fool me. For 200 people. Oh, man, they spent some money. Grand celebration. Full band and a DJ to play when the band took a break. Full celebration. Horse-drawn carriage. Full celebration, y'all. Let's release the doves. Commemorate our love. Full celebration, but no commitment, because there's a difference between a wedding and a marriage. And a whole lot of people want to have a wedding celebration, but are not real keen on the marriage part. Here's all I'm saying to you. When we talk about our walk with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, man, it's got to be more than just a celebration. Got to be more. Celebrate! but make sure that celebration leads to a commitment. Everyone who can, everybody who will, if you stand on your feet wherever you are. I want to encourage somebody today. We come to celebrate the palms waving. We come to celebrate the clothes strewn in front of him. We come to celebrate the King of Kings who rode in and fulfilled prophecy. And this is the week that he would go through the last week of his life on earth preceding the crucifixion that would take place. And we know that that crucifixion that we call Good Friday was only called Good Friday after the fact. It wasn't Good Friday when it took place, but history now calls it Good Friday because Resurrection Sunday showed up afterwards. So we come today now, and I want to challenge those of you who are watching, those of you who are under the sound of my voice, downstairs, upstairs, wherever you are, to make a commitment beyond just the celebration of our emotions. Make a commitment of your will to say, yes, God, you gave me your best. God, let me commit myself. Let me recommit myself to giving you my best. Give you my praise, but you want my person. So let me give you all that I am. If you're here today, you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. If you're here today, maybe you're in need of special prayer. You want somebody to pray with you, pray for you. Or maybe you're here today and you would like to become part of this church family under Watch Care. Whatever your spiritual need is, there's a QR code on the screen for those of you who are watching wherever you are in the world. We would love to help you on your discipleship journey. And those of you who are here, you can use that QR code or you can come right now. We won't look at you funny. I promise we'll rejoice when you come because we know God celebrates when anyone says yes to him. So as the song is sung, don't wait, tarry, dialogue, or debate with the devil. Come on and come right now.
I surrender all to you.
Everything.
Everything I give to you.
What am I going to withhold?
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. I surrender.
Come on, this is a prayer. Set the music.
Everything.
Tell the Lord everything I give.
I give to you.
Come on, think to God. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all to you.
Come on and come right now. Everything. Lift your hands wherever you are if you feel led, and you can just offer yourself to God. Some of you have been fighting, and it's one thing when you fight family members and friends, but boy, it's a losing proposition when you fight God. And God just says, man, just give yourself to me. I created you. I made you. I love you. And I've got a purpose for your life, purpose for your being.
I give
you all of me. I give you all of me. Every burden, every problem, every good time, every bad time, the stuff I think I understand, the stuff I know I don't understand, God, I give it all. I give you all of me. Make me, mold me, shape me into what you want me to be. I give you all of me. Come on.
I give you all of me. 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 I give you all of me.
There were people who gave Jesus their coats, but didn't give them their commitment. Right? Don't give them your hat and not give them your heart. Don't give them the extra stuff that doesn't really mean a lot and not give them what you really love. The rich young ruler, you remember? He came and said, man, I want to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus started giving him a little oral exam. And the rich young ruler said, pass. Yep, I did. I do that. Yep, I do that. And then finally Jesus said, okay, this is one more thing. One more thing and you can follow me. Give everything you have to the poor. And the Bible says the rich young ruler walked away sad because he loved what he had more than he loved following Jesus.
I surrender all. I give it all to you, God. I'm
not going to hold on to it, God. I'm going to give it to you. And watch this. Typically when we sing that song, we think about our stuff. And we really need to give ourselves. Right? Because how many of you know you can give stuff and not give you? But if I give you, my stuff comes with me. Father, we bless you and thank you for your word today. I pray, God, as we leave here, we celebrate your entrance, but help somebody understand you also call for our substance. We give you praise, but you want our person. Because it's when we give you our person, we can discover our purpose. A declaration is fine, but when we give you more than just a declaration, we can actually walk in our destiny. And so, God, I pray that the word that has gone forth has found fertile ground in the hearts and minds of your people. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give God some praise. Reverend Bell's going to come now. Amen, and lead us in our time of giving. And we want to welcome our visitors and thank God for all of you who are here.
Let's praise God and thank God for that powerful, convicting message from our senior pastor. That's one of those messages you can chew on all week long. I ask God to check you on your commitment. Amen.